Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. The Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by GolfBetterTucson.com. Be sure to check out our website and follow us on Instagram and all other social media. Today we have on Aaron Dill, master wedge craftsman, fitter, and Bob Vokey's right-hand man. Aaron has a wealth of knowledge in wedges and short game, and you're going to want to take some notes on what he has to say to help your wedge play. All right, Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So I work on the PGA Tour for Bob Vokey. Cover roughly 40 tour events a year, and I've been doing that for the last, gosh, I think it's like 13 years now. I got started when I was young. I was in my early 20s. I think I was 23 when I started with Acushnet. Did a couple years on this Fitting Works program, and then that's how I got to know Bob really well. Mm-hmm. Bob was out at tour events with me, and then I was living in Carlsbad, so I was able to kind of be in the office a little bit more and spend time with him and absorb some of his knowledge, and he was very kind to let me kind of follow him around like a dog. So I spent a bunch of time with him and just fell in love with wedges, and 13 years later, here we are.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how has Bob helped you in your craft and wedge knowledge?
Well, obviously Bob is a tremendous resource in terms of wedge grinding, fitting, coaching and all that stuff, you know. So for me to be able to work for an icon like him is huge. And like I said before, he's been really gracious with his time, and he's always been very welcoming and great about sharing information with me. Mm-hmm. You know, he genuinely wants me to be successful, like everybody. You know, anybody who ever meets him would say the same. So I tried to spend as much time with him as I could, and he's always been really great about sharing all the information that I have questions about with me whenever I feel like I don't know the answer.
Awesome. So being that you're so knowledgeable about wedges, what are some things that you know that can maybe help the average golfer in terms of their wedge play, whether it be wedge setup with kind of what they play with bounce and grinds? Is there anything that you know that can help the average golfer based on what you see?
Yes. So this is kind of a crazy thing to think about, but some of the best players in the world have never been fit. And when I say fit, I just mean, you know, they took hours of time with somebody like myself or Bob to truly deeply understand what it is that they need and the reasons why. And when we get times like that, guys walk away from fittings with a deeper understanding of why they should play certain wedges and how they best benefit them. And really just kind of a deeper understanding into wedge play itself, because I think a lot of times, and I'll speak to this, you know, on personal levels, is mm-hmm. when I got into the game of golf, I just kind of grabbed what everybody else was playing at the time, which is a 52, 56, 60.
Yeah.
And I always leaned on my 60-degree wedge as my get me out of trouble club. And I look back at that and I think to myself, why didn't I take better why did I take more time or take advantage of some of the other wedges I had in my bag? Mm-hmm. And it was because I just didn't know any better. And so, you know, when I work with players or Bob works with players, we try and obviously come up with a set or a matrix of wedges that best fits that player. Mm-hmm. But also sort of educate them and kind of expand their minds as to why we selected those things and how they benefit the player. So, advice I'd give anybody out there, if you're going to play this game, and you're going to invest in wedges, you know, really invest in them. Go to a facility where you can test the different grinds, talk to somebody who can tell you how far your wedges go, do some proper gapping, and really kind of plan out what you're going to do. I know it takes a little bit of time. It might be a little bit more of an investment for you. But in the end, when you leave with three or four wedges that you deeply understand and you know will benefit you, you're going to enjoy the game much more. So, you know, go get fit, try all the different products. Expand your mind and learn a little bit, and you're going to love this game more.
I love it. So in general, would you recommend golfers get different wedges, different grinds, different bounces so they can utilize different things? Do you recommend kind of staying similar in bounce and grind? In general, what are your thoughts on that for the average golfer?
Yeah, I'd say honestly, this is for all golfers.
Yeah.
Whatever wedges you choose, make sure that they're all a little different from each other. You know, sometimes you get this thing where, oh, I got to have the mid bounce and everything. And in reality, you know, each wedge has to have its own purpose, its own value. Each wedge should have its own handful of shots that it just covers those shots. If we have three of the same wedges that have the same bounces, we're limited in this type of shots that we can have. So I try and encourage guys to choose a couple of models that, you know, can fit or benefit you in different ways. So on tour, an example would be, you know, having a high bounce sand wedge, a low bounce lob wedge, a mid to high bounce gap wedge. You know, that's a nice spectrum of different things, because in the gap wedge, it has very little manipulation. So you might as well get yourself a bounce that's going to protect you. And then once you creep into things like the sand wedge and lob wedge, you know, ask yourself questions about what you're doing with them. Are they short game driven? Are they just fairway shot driven? And that will sort of steer you in a direction of what sort of bounce you might need. Are your golf courses firm? Are your golf courses soft? Are you the kind of guy that comes in from the inside? Are you over the top? There are a lot of questions that, you know, you have to have answers to, but the simple ones, you know, what are my golf courses like that I play on? Are they soft or firm? That'll help you determine, do I need more bounce or less? Do I make big divots or small divots? Do I miss heavy? Do I miss thin? You know, ask yourself those questions, and that'll help you determine which bounces are best for you.
That's fantastic. So let's say you or Bob are fitting a tour player or maybe fitting an average golfer. What does that process look like, and where do you like to start with that process?
So my process starts with evaluating what's already in the bag. So I'm going to look at what's in the bag first. I'm going to ask a lot of questions about what is in the bag already. You know, where's this wedge good? Where is it weak? A lot of my time will be spent on trying to fix the problems. I'm a big believer that if you can fix the things that are issues, you're going to be a better, more comfortable golfer. And over time, you're going to work yourself into a comfort zone where you can get into less bounce or a more versatile wedge once you find the bottom again. And I think a lot of guys come in with this perception like, hey, I need to be able to hit this shot. And in reality, I like to go the other direction. I like to say, well, let's fix some of these other ones that are giving you some grief. And when you start doing that, your confidence picks up, your speed's faster at the bottom, you're producing more spin, your launches are lower, you're hitting your carry numbers easier. And all those things are just going to equate to a more comfortable wedge player. And then you can start moving into anything you want. So, you know, I'll look at the bag. I'll take a look at what's currently in there. I'll look at the faces of the wedge to see where impact is. I'll look at the sole. But I'll ask a series of questions. Do you hit the ball high? You hit the ball low? Left, right, left. What's your preference on ball flight? Are you hitting in the carry numbers that you like? Are they coming up short? Are they coming up long? And so I'm measuring things as I'm getting these answers, and it's basically steering me in a direction of where I'd like to go with this player. once we have gone through the spec process, then I'll have him hit each loft, and I'll say, okay, how far do you expect this to go? And we'll do a couple things during this process. Number one, we're validating carry numbers. We're making sure that the math makes sense, that there's a good gap between the pitch and the gap wedge, that there's a nice gap between the gap and the sand, and a nice gap between the sand and the lob, or whatever wedges they might play. And then once that's been done, we're also sort of educating this player on, okay, at the end of this whole session, these are your carry numbers. You know, be familiar with those numbers, because as golfers, we always remember our best shots, right? And a lot of the times, our best shots are 3 to 5 yards longer than we think that we're going to hit the wedges. So, you know, normally guys are coming up short. They always sort of overshoot the number, so to speak. So they always give me something a little longer than they actually hit it. So we'll validate those numbers. Once the carry numbers are validated, we have the right lofts, then we'll start working on soles. Soles are going to be based on what you do with them. So if guys are just basically using them from the fairway square face, or maybe a little bit of short game square face, then that's a really simple process. We're just trying to find a bounce that best fits those needs based on mistakes, a little bit of what guys want to do, and the courses they play on. The real tricky work comes around the dominant short game club, which is typically 58, 60, 62 for most guys. And when you get into that club, you really have to dive deeper than any other wedge in the bag and get a really good understanding of what you do with it, where you make mistakes, more importantly, and how you can make those mistakes better. So you're gearing this wedge around you know, trying to fix some issues, but you're also not trying to change the world. We don't want to overcomplicate things. We just want to make golf a little bit easier. Yeah. So we try and find a bounce and sole that best fits those needs. Once that's done, then you can kind of go over the whole process of, okay, this is what we did today. This is what I learned. Hopefully this is what you learned. And now you can take this information into your golf game and you know, play better, shoot some better scores, and have more fun.
I love it. So how often do you see tour players get fresh wedges, and then maybe, you know, in general? And then how often should the average golfer maybe look to get new wedges?
Yeah, the tour players are very fortunate. They've got a support team out every single week with a trailer. So if guys ever have any issues, we're there on site to help them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, alleviate or solve any issues that they might have before they go out and try and play their best golf. With that said, you know, these guys are replacing grooves often. And I'll use Justin Thomas as a great example. Okay, so we have the system. It's a 1-2-3-4 system where we basically tell guys, during a calendar year, if you play a 46, 50, 54, 58, whatever it may be, let's say you're playing four wedges, you can use a 46, you know, you can use that, you know, hopefully without any damage or destruction to it, you know, you can use that throughout an entire year. The 50, you'll probably go through two of those, three sand wedges, and 4 to 8 lob wedges in 1 year based on how much you play. We ran a study a while ago that basically said that, you know, once you get over about 70 rounds in practice, practice sessions, you're going to start to see diminishing return or some spin decay of some kind. And and normally what we'd see is the ball's going to fly a little higher. It's going to carry a little shorter, and you're going to see noticeably less spin green side. So those are the three key things that we try and share with our players. On tour, we're replacing whenever guys need it. So these guys hit balls every day. I mean, they practice and they practice. And the higher lofted wedges that you get into, those will show decay faster. And so we have to be very proactive in making sure that these guys have fresh grooves so that when they go out and play golf, they're able to control their golf balls. So I'd say in most situations, again, we'll use Justin as a great example. Justin will play a pitching wedge through a whole year. He might keep the 52 as well for an entire season. The 56, he'll use probably 4 or 5 of those a year. He'll replace those quite a bit because he uses that 57 around the greens a lot. And then once you get into his lob wedge, which is 60.5 degrees, he'll probably go through about 6, maybe 7 of those a year. And again, this is all dependent on him. So, you know, from week to week when I see him, I'll check in and I'll say hello and how are you? And I'll do the same thing with Jordan, and I'll do the same thing with Adam, and I'll do the same thing with any of our staffers. Is, you know, we check in week to week, and we just kind of feel things out. But for the most part, those guys are changing often. And for the consumers out there, I would kind of steer them in the same direction. If you're the kind of guy that plays a lot of golf, you know, if you play, and I know a lot of people who play over 100 rounds a year, that's a ton of golf. Yeah. Those guys should be replacing their dominant short game wedge quite a bit. Yeah. You know, we have this joke around the building that if your grip needs to be replaced, there's a good chance your groove probably does too. So, you know, there is some truth to that. So, you know, replace them often. The best chance for you to control that golf ball is to have that spin, especially in the higher loft. So whenever you start to see some spin decay, it might be time to make a move.
And then how often will you see – do tour guys often change like bounce and grind depending where they play, when they play, or do you tend to see them – stick with a kind of a standard set based on, you know, what they'll typically play?
That's a great question. I think for the most part on tour, you will see players that they'll build a wedge matrix for their bag at the start of the year, and they will basically play that same wedge matrix unless the venue or the golf course needs something different. So some examples would be like an Open Championship, Augusta National, going from, say, Scottsdale over to West Palm Beach, like at PGA National. You know, some of these golf courses, as we move throughout the United States, so many things change. You go from ryegrass to really grainy Bermudas. You go from firmer clay-based soils to sand-based soils that kind of fall apart. And when you start to do that, these guys, they feel that. They have very sensitive touch when it comes to how the ground reacts when they hit it. And so if they feel something a little bit off, they're going to reach out and say, hey, can we hit a couple balls and look at some things and can you validate? And we'll spend time doing that. Sometimes a coaching change will dictate a bounce change. How much sand is in a bunker will dictate, you know, what kind of lob wedge we have to pull that week. So I would say throughout the year, as we make our way from California to Florida, there are certain places where we have to make those changes. But for the most part, if a guy comes into a tournament with 46, 50, 54, 58, and these bounces, he's likely going to play those unless he's spooked or something's changed and he needs to find comfort again.
Sure. So let's say like a real grainy course. What would you maybe see a guy change as far as bounce or grind?
Yes, there's two things that I would tell somebody right off the bat. Like, you know, we're headed to Honda next week. That golf course is tricky. It's grainy Bermuda. It's very healthy there. There's a bunch of sand in the soil. There are some firmer places there, but there are some softer places too. So guys have to be careful. I would tell players this. I would say, okay, get yourself a little more bounce. That's going to help keep the leading edge above the ground. But the other thing I'd say is when you get into grainy situations, play with less loft. A sand wedge is going to give you more consistent feedback and feel and performance than your higher lofted wedges will, because when you have a lot of loft, it's very oblique. It's very glancing. So the golf ball and the face don't really connect on a deep level like, say, a sand wedge or a gap wedge will. So a lot of guys, you know, who are really talented around the greens, they'll lean on their sand wedges more than they will their lob wedges, especially in those grainy situations.
That's a great tip. And so a few more questions here for you. So Vokey wedges are so overly dominant among the world's best players. Why would you say that is?
I think it's a combination of a couple things. The first thing is that the product itself is really, really good. The second thing is the service aspect. I think that, you know, Bob Vokey has done an amazing job in the 20 plus years at Titleist of basically saying, if you have wedge needs, I am your man. And I just love that about him. That's kind of the way I am too. I'm wired that way. And something that I took from him a long time ago was, you know, service goes a long way. So we service heavily on the PGA Tour and around the world because we know it's very important. Like anybody in this world, you know, if you're going to go out and get something, you know, you want to go to somebody who you can trust and who's knowledgeable and who can provide. And that's our foundation. And the other part of it, again, like I said, is just exceptional product. We spent years developing a line. It took us almost 3 years to develop SM8. And we did it with direction. We did it with purpose and we did it with focus. And our team's real small, which is cool. And when we produce something, we don't make any sacrifices in what we know is important, which is feel and looks. And we try and also include a technology story that we know will make a difference. So we're not really into gimmicks. It's not really our thing. We just want to produce a very attractive wedge that produces results and back it up with service.
I love it. So for the future of wedge play and wedge design, is there anything that you see maybe coming? Is it just kind of be refining the craft of what you guys currently do?
I think every year we learn. I can't say I have ideas and thoughts about what the future will bring. But I think golf itself is in a really good place. And I think every year, every day that I'm on tour, I'm learning, I'm gathering information. I'm taking it back to Bob and taking it back to, Kevin Tisistro and Ron Hettinger who kind of head our development programs. And we brainstorm. You know, I say, this is what's going on. This is what we're seeing on the golf courses. This is the kind of grass we're seeing and how they're moving it around. And this is the comments from the players. And to say like, hey, this is the future of wedge play, is really tough to do. Mm-hmm. We have some great ideas that we're working on now. I can't really get into those, sure. But we have some great thoughts and some great ideas that that we feel are going to help our tour players and our consumers play better golf, and that's the whole goal. Is we want to keep it fun and interesting, and we got to do that by becoming innovative and working hard at what we're doing.
I love it. So a little bit of a personal question. So my favorite golfer, Steve Stricker. Have you ever done work with Stricker, and what's that like?
I've been doing work with Stricker for a long time. Steve is a good friend and an incredible ambassador to the game of golf. His action's really, really simple. You know, and you talk about some of your best wedge players in the world, you know, he's one of them. And what Steve does really well is he keeps things really simple. He doesn't have a lot of movement in his arms or in his wrists. He's just kind of a straight back, straight through kind of guy. And I think that's what makes him lethal around the greens is his ability to just kind of casually plot his way through through a golf course. And he does it beautifully. And he's just a great guy, and you know, everybody loves to be around him, so he's a real pleasure to work with.
And I know, does he change wedges as often as most guys? He seems very loyal to, you know, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. Is he kind of still on that plan of changing wedges as frequently as maybe you'll see other guys?
Not at all. And I think over the years of working with him, I've kind of taken this approach with Steve where I let him just reach out to me when he's ready. Yeah. I don't want to bother him.
Sure.
You know, I will occasionally, I'll send him a note from time to time and say, hey, just checking in. How are you? Can I get you anything? And, you know, he'll say, I'm great. Or, you know, can you send me one of these or can we try that? Mm-hmm. And he's not really the kind of person who makes changes, big changes. You know, he'll tinker from time to time because he wants to learn and he wants to feel. But at the end of the day, he plays the same 14 clubs that he wants to play. And so I try not to get in the way of that. I'm just more of a resource for him when he feels like he needs something.
Aaron, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. What's the best way for people to follow you or to reach out to you?
Yeah. Actually, if anybody out there is on Instagram, and I know there are a lot of people are, I'm Voki Wedge Rep. You guys can find me on there. We're going to be posting a ton of great content that's all about tour products, customization, fun stories, videos. It's kind of my own little thing that I do from week to week on the PGA Tour. We talk about a lot of stuff on there, and it's a really cool outlet for anybody who loves golf and loves wedges and loves Bob Voki. So Voki Wedge Rep on Instagram and on Twitter, and take a look. There's going to be a lot of great stuff this year. We're excited.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you.
Aaron is a very busy guy, and we're so glad he could join us today. He is a big reason why Voki Wedges are so successful, so be sure to follow him at Voki Wedge Rep on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks again for all of your support of the podcast. We've got some more great guests lined up, so be sure to subscribe and share with all of your golf crew. Until next time.